Look with me in Philippians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 14, Paul says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Summer officially began on Friday. Did you catch the super moon last night? Wow, was it awesome? It was beautiful. The July 4th holiday is next week, and then vacation season is here. And everybody's going to be scattered to the four winds for a little bit. And just before vacations come upon us, I want to take a few minutes and I want to give you a progress report on two projects that we're working on right now. The first project that I want to talk about is our satellite campus at the Majestic Theater in downtown Stamford. In your bulletin this morning is a response card with a picture of the Majestic Theater at the top of it. Would you take that out and just find that and take a look at it for a moment with me? We have a need for some helping hands in Stamford this summer, and I'm asking you if you would consider helping out. We have 1,000 people over here, and we have about 120 people over there, and they need our help over these summer months. Here at the Greenwich campus, we change things up in July and August, and some of our ministry teams actually get 10 weeks of a break before they begin ministering again. Other teams are large enough that we can accommodate people's vacations without too much trouble. But over at the Stamford Church, there is no rest for the weary. And I'd love for us to get together this morning and conspire a little bit and do something about that. Pastor Derek Sanchez has been leading our Stamford campus for the last year, and he's been working full-time. He's also been going to seminary part-time. And after a year of yeoman's service to us, Pastor Derek is stepping back this summer so that he can concentrate on his family a little bit. And I'm asking if you would be willing to go up to Stamford just one Sunday morning in the next 10 weeks and help out. We especially need some men that would volunteer for one Sunday to drive the van with all of the equipment from this campus up to Stamford, help them unload into the Majestic Theater, and then load the van back up again. It would be about 4.5 hours of your time one Sunday morning this summer. Women and men, maybe you would consider volunteering for children's ministry just to be a helper, an assistant one Sunday, or an usher or a greeter, or help serve coffee and bagels. If you help serve coffee and bagels, you actually get to eat coffee and bagels. So that's like a better deal than here at the Greenwich campus. Maybe you've come back home to the Greenwich campus from Stamford, and you would consider going up one Sunday morning just to help out and volunteer. I know they would love to see you. And this is what I'd like to ask you to do. This is a little bit of a bold move. Now listen, the backsliders at 8:30 sat there and looked at me, and they didn't do anything. So I know you're going to help me out in 10 o'clock. I want to ask if you'd take a pen. And would you take a look at that form? And would you sign up this morning to volunteer one Sunday up in Stamford? If you'd fill out your name on the form, if you'd share your email address and your cell phone number, tell us the weekend that you would be available to serve. We have all the dates listed, the next 10 weeks, and maybe you already know what dates you're out on vacation, and so you could indicate a Sunday morning that you could go up and serve, and just indicate how you might be willing to serve as an usher, as a greeter. It takes virtually zero training to pass out bulletins at the front door. It takes almost zero training to serve a cup of coffee or to smile at someone. And would you do that right now? And I'm going to ask in just a moment that you would take those forms and that you would just begin passing them down towards the center aisles, and the ushers are going to come and receive them for you. I want to show you a picture of Sophie and Jeremy. 2 years ago, Sophie moved to Stamford, Connecticut from France to work at Swiss Bank. And she wasn't a believer, but somehow she found her way into our Stamford satellite congregation. And after she worshiped there for a few weeks, Sophie gave her heart to Jesus. She started dating Jeremy, and she invited Jeremy to come to church with her. Jeremy was raised in church, but he had wandered away during his high school and his college years and his young adult years. But when he came to the Stamford campus, he met Jesus in an exciting new way. Shortly after he asked Christ into his heart, Jeremy was transferred to St. Louis on business, and then Sophie received a transfer notice as well. But before she left, we scheduled a water baptism. And when Jeremy heard that we were doing a water baptism here at his home church, he got on an airplane and he flew all the way from St. Louis to New York just so they could be baptized together. And this was their baptism just a couple weeks ago at the Boys and Girls Club in Greenwich. Beloved, I want to tell you that that is precisely why we planted our satellite campus in downtown Stamford. It's to reach young people like Sophie and Jeremy. We have a group of homeless people that come in every Sunday morning, and we just share the love of Christ with them. We give them something to eat, and we give them something to drink, and they stay many times for the service. We have college students who actually are out on the streets of Stamford partying all night, and they wait for us to set up the coffee and the bagels, and they come in, and they share something to eat, and they come in to the theater, and they get some soul food as well from the Word of God. You never know what's going to happen up in Stamford. So would you fill out that card, and would you take a moment, and would you pass it? Listen, I know I'm asking you to do, just be stretched a little bit this morning, all right? You think I'm stretching you now, just hold on. I'm going to stretch you even more in just one moment. I want you to stretch a little bit. Would you pass those towards the center aisle? And ushers, would you come very quickly, and would you just receive those from everybody? I want to say thank you for just being willing to serve. That's great. I see papers moving. That's a beautiful sight. Come on, let's give everybody a hand for just serving. Just receive those right from the end of those aisles. We can get them later. Just let's go quick. All right, the second progress report that I want to bring to you this morning is about our Phase 2 building project. Some of you have only recently become part of our Harvest Time family, and you've seen the pictures, the drawings of a new church building out in the foyer, and maybe you've heard me talk about Phase 2 or Accelerate 52, and you're wondering what all these codes mean. And I want to take a few moments to bring our newer church family members up to speed this morning and to give all of us a progress report on the new building. And I know we have some folks visiting with us this morning. We welcome you. I hope that you'll just be patient with us while I share a little bit of our history and progress report, and I believe that at the end you're going to hear a word of encouragement from the scripture. I can completely relate to Paul's affection for the Philippian church, because that's how I feel about Harvest Time Church. Paul's letter to the Philippians is his most intimate letter in the New Testament. No one supported Paul's ministry like the believers in Philippi. And it's ironic because of all Paul's churches, the Philippians struggled the most under financial pressure. Because of their faith in Jesus Christ, the unbelievers in the city of Philippi had put the Christians under extreme economic sanctions. The Christians were cut out of business. They were ostracized from society. Unbelievers wouldn't patronize Christian businesses. They wouldn't buy or sell to them at fair prices. They wouldn't hire them. The IRS put them on a blacklist and began targeting. Oh, I'm sorry, that's here in the United States. Things were so economically bad for the Philippian believers that when Paul decided to take a special offering for the church in Jerusalem, he decided to leave the Philippians out of it. He didn't want to burden them any further. And when they found out about it, they begged him for the privilege of participating in that special offering. Can you imagine that? Through all of it, the Philippians gave offerings to Paul more freely and more frequently and more generously than the wealthy believers in Thessalonica and Corinth. And I want to use Paul's words here in Philippians 4 to say my own thank you to you for everything that you have given to help get Harvest Time Church this far. And I want to encourage you with a couple of quick thoughts, three quick thoughts for you. The first thought is this: every gift that you have made to Harvest Time Church is an offering to God. Every gift that you've made here is an offering to God. Paul says in Philippians 4:18, your gift to me was an offering to God. Beloved, every tithe check that you write to Harvest Time Church is an offering to God. Every missions offering, everything that you bestow upon me and my family, upon our other pastors, upon visiting ministers, is an offering to God. Ultimately, the recipients are not men or their ministries or their missions. The ultimate recipient of everything you give is God. And I especially want to say thank you for your giving to our building projects. Every dollar that you have given into our building fund has been an offering to God. I became the senior pastor of Harvest Time Church in January 1999, and we had just 6 months when I became the pastor to close on this property for $1.5 million. We put together our first mini capital campaign called Let's Take the Land, and in 6 months, you gave $500,000. At the time, that was the entire annual budget of the church. In 2000, we put together our first major capital campaign to help us build this building called Into the Field, and you gave $2 million. In 2005, we launched our second major capital campaign called Building Bridges, and you gave another $1 million. In 2007, we launched a mini campaign called Let's Do the Dome to erect the air structure outside, and you gave $350,000. In 2008, we launched our third major capital campaign called Accelerate 52. And in the midst of the worst recession since the 1930s, you still gave more than you've ever given before, $2.1 million. Over the last 14 years that I have been privileged to be your senior pastor, you have given more than $6 million to our building fund over above your tithes and in addition to your missions giving. And everything that you gave was an offering to God. I think that's pretty awesome. I think God deserves some praise right there. Three quick encouraging thoughts. Every gift to Harvest Time Church is an offering to God. And second, nothing given to God is ever lost. Nothing given to God is ever lost. In verse 17 of Philippians 4, Paul says, it's not about a gift for me, but about what may be credited to your account. The gifts that you have given to gospel ministers and gospel ministries and gospel missions on earth are spiritual seed deposited in your account in heaven. Paul said, I know the one in whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to guard what I have deposited with him until that great and final day. Nothing you give to God is ever lost. Your prayers. Do you know that every prayer you pray is saved in a bowl in heaven, the Bible says. And those prayers continue having effect. They continue having power and influence. They continue working in the lives of the people that you've prayed for long after those prayers have left your lips. I thank God I had a praying grandmother. At the age of 83, she was stricken with arthritis and bursitis and terrible in her knees and her ankles. She was in horrible pain, but she would not go to bed until she knelt down on the floor next to her bed every night and prayed for every one of her 19 grandchildren. You know, she's gone home to be with Jesus many years ago now, but those prayers are in a bowl in heaven. And you know that since she passed away, 18 out of her 19 grandchildren are all serving Jesus Christ right now. There's only one left to go, and he doesn't have a chance. Nothing you ever give to God is lost. Your service, your sacrificial labors of love, your offerings of money, none of it is lost. Maybe you gave money at some point to an earthly ministry and things didn't go the way you expected. Maybe you gave to a local church or to an evangelist or a nationally known minister or some missions project and things took a wrong turn. Maybe your gift wasn't appreciated. Maybe it wasn't used wisely as you thought it should be. Maybe it didn't bring the fruit that you believed that it would bring. Can I tell you that that gift is not lost? It's not lost in heaven, and it's not lost on earth either. There is a spiritual power in a seed of love that is sown in faith that works things that you don't even begin to understand. Your giving has made a difference to us. And it's helped us to make a difference in the lives of many, many other people. Your giving enabled us to buy this 10.5-acre campus. We paid $1.5 million for it in 1999. And a year later, another church in Greenwich offered us $6 million for this property. I often wonder how long I could have lived in Tahiti on $6 million. Your giving helped us to build this phase one building, 25,000 square feet. Your giving helped us to finish and furnish the building and the grounds and launch new ministries. Your giving helped us to erect the air dome. Your giving helped us to buy the parsonage property just a couple of doors down. And I'm believing God that he's going to help us to acquire the two parcels that are between this church property and the parsonage property so it becomes one giant tract of land owned by the church. But I want to talk specifically about Accelerate 52 for a moment. The building that we're in right now is one half of a building that we originally planned in 1999. Originally, we designed a 600-seat sanctuary, and this space that we're in right now was supposed to be Sunday school classrooms. This was supposed to be a center hall with classrooms on either side. And we didn't plan to have a basement in the building because we weren't permitted to use that much square footage. We couldn't build that much. That was the building that we first had approved by the town. But when we estimated the cost of that original building, it was way more than we could afford. This was much more than we could afford. That was way more than we could afford. And I remember vividly the day that I was in my old office and I opened the construction estimate and I literally let out a gasp when I saw the price tag and I slid out of my chair and onto my knees. Faith got up and came running. She didn't know what was going on. And I remember sitting at a conference table at our lawyer's office, and we had the plan of the building stretched out on the table, and we were looking at it, and I said, Tom, we can't do this. We can't afford this. And he took his ruler, and he laid it right across the middle of the building, and he said, phase one and phase two. So we raised the roof on this part of the building, and we put a basement underneath with all the classrooms. And I have to tell you, honestly, there was a period of a couple of years that I really struggled with the thought that perhaps I had failed God, that perhaps I had failed all of you by not having enough faith to just build the whole thing in the first shot. In 2007, the Lord spoke to me three ways that it was time to get moving now on phase two. I received a note in the mail from our founding pastor, Pastor Tate, and when I opened it, there were only two words on the whole card. It just said, "It's time." And then I was on the telephone with one of my fathers in the Lord, and we were talking. I hadn't told him about the note that I received, but we were talking about the building project, and he said to me at the end of the conversation, he said, "Glenn, what I hear you saying is, it's time." And then I had a dream, and the Lord spoke to me in the night hours, and I heard a loud voice say to me, "It's time." So I called together our attorney and our architect, and I said to them, "It's time." And we dusted off the old drawings. Because we put a basement under this half of the building, we thought that we were going to have to buy more land before we could build anything else. And I really didn't know, the land on either side of us is not for sale right now. It wasn't for sale then. And I didn't really know how we were going to get more land, but I knew I heard from the Lord. And as it turned out, a few days after we met, our attorney called me and he said, "Glenn, you are not going to believe this." You know, we got to stop using the word unbelievable. It's not faith-filled. He said to me, "You're not going to believe this." He said, "The Greenwich zoning regulations have changed in your favor." He said, "You can now put a basement under the entire building. You can add the second half and you can put a basement under the whole thing and you don't have to buy any more land." That means that we went from a restriction of 27,500 square feet to 55,000 square feet. I don't know how much you know about zoning regulations, but beloved, that never happens. It was a miracle. And he went on, he said, "Glenn," he said, "when the town passed the new zoning regulations," he said, "they meant to pass another restriction on the amount of your property that can be covered by building and parking lots," but he said they forgot to pass it. And so there was this divine window of opportunity that was open to us just at the moment that I contacted them and said, "It's time." We went back to the drawing board and we kept the exact same footprint of the original building, but we upped the seating capacity in the sanctuary to 1,000 people. And we were able to add all the parking lots that we need to accommodate that without buying any more land. And underneath, we designed a big fellowship hall and a cafe and a kitchen and about a dozen more classrooms. In 2008, we launched Accelerate 52. How many of you have absolutely no idea what that means, Accelerate 52? Come on, put up your hand. Yeah, no idea. All right, I'm going to explain it to you. We took it from the book of Nehemiah. Accelerate stands for the miracle of acceleration that God's people experienced when they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And 52 stands for the 52 days that it took them to rebuild the city. Accelerate 52. I have to be truthful with you. After we bought this land and built this building with just 300 people, I honestly thought that phase two was going to be easy peasy with 700 or 800 people that we had then. But the very week that we launched Accelerate 52 was the week that the bottom fell out of the stock market. Do you remember that? And then you remember the job market dried up and the housing market dropped. But I want to say to you, in spite of that, Accelerate 52 was still the largest capital campaign that we've done so far at harvest time. Your giving has accomplished 5 things. Your giving helped us get those zoning approvals. We got the approval on the new building. We got the approval on all of those parking lots. Your giving to Accelerate 52 paid for the attorney's fees, the civil engineer, the architect, the landscape architect, the consultant code, the traffic engineer, all of the studies, environmental engineer. I want to tell you that golden window of opportunity is closed now. They did pass the new lot coverage restrictions, and what they passed is so stringent that what we have right now on the property exceeds the new restrictions, but because we got our zoning approvals in time, they're locked in and they're safe as long as we start the building before that expires. Your giving to Accelerate 52 is paid for a 100% complete set of architectural and site plans. They are on file at Town Hall waiting for us to apply for a building permit. I want to tell you that phase two is literally shovel ready. Everything is ready to go. As soon as we have enough money in hand to get started on construction, we can begin immediately. Those architectural plans and the site plans are the largest item that your giving to Accelerate 52 went towards. Your giving to Accelerate 52 paid for the two new parking lots that we added a little over a year ago. Some of you remember back there used to be a line of cars all the way down the driveway, out and around, and onto King Street because sometimes, I don't know who does this, but sometimes the person in the pulpit runs over a little bit in service. So we had a terrible congestion problem, and the new parking lots added 114 new parking spaces. They helped us get ready for phase two, and we're using them now. Your giving to Accelerate 52 paid for the generator that we just installed. And by the way, guess who's running on the generator again this morning? Thank you, Jesus, for that generator. So that's part of the phase two construction project, but we did it early just so we're prepared in case we have any storms or any unusual Sunday morning power outages. And your giving to Accelerate 52 has left us with over $500,000 in our building fund as seed money for the next leg of the journey. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you for everything that you've given. I think that those are five amazing accomplishments in a very difficult economic season. And I think that there's something to celebrate this morning. Can you do that with me? Today we are officially retiring the Accelerate 52 capital campaign. So now that you finally found out what the sign means on the wall, we're going to take it down after today. I want everyone to feel proud of the contributions that you've made. Some of us weren't able to meet the pledges that we made in 2008. Can I tell you, beloved, that the things that take us by surprise are never a surprise to God. We didn't foresee how badly the economy would slow down. We didn't foresee how long it would take to recover. But God isn't taken back by any of those things. If you made a pledge to Accelerate 52 and you were unable to meet that pledge, I want you to consider your obligation fulfilled. We've closed the books on the campaign. We're going to celebrate what God has enabled us to do over the last 3 years. And we're going to commit the rest to God. Paul said to the Galatians, Paul had an eye problem. He had a disease in his eyes. And Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, I know if it were possible, you would have taken out your own eyes and you would have given them to me. I know how many of you dream about being able to write the big check. I know that you dream about being able to write the $1 million check or the $500,000 check or the $100,000 check or the $50,000 check. I know that if it were possible, you would write it. But you didn't allow what you couldn't do to stop you from doing what you could do. You did your best. And now we can trust God with the rest. Here's what I know about phase two. Beloved, I want to tell you that phase two is not my vision. It is God's vision. And it's an integral part of what God wants to do through this church to impact Greenwich and the region and his world. I know in my heart that it's going to get built, and it's going to get built soon. Every time I dream about our church, from 1999 to this present day, every time I have a dream about harvest time, it is always in the phase two building. There was only one dream I ever had that was in this building, and that was a week before the Greenwich outpouring started. But every other dream that I've ever had has been in that next building. I know in the spirit it's already done, and the board and I are asking God to chart a course for us so that we can break ground next year in 2014. So scatter to the four winds, and when you come home in September, we're going to focus together on phase two. Nothing given to God is ever lost. At the end of the day, it's not about bricks and mortar. It has never been. It's about people. And I want to tell you that your giving to Harvest Time Church has made a difference in the lives of many, many people. I wonder how many people are here this morning and you gave your heart to Jesus Christ here at Harvest Time Church, or you recommitted your life to Christ here at Harvest Time Church, can I ask you to do something bold and to stand up and remain standing for just a moment? If you gave your heart to Jesus, or you recommitted your life to Jesus here at Harvest Time Church, would you stand up and stay standing? Some other people are going to be joining you, so don't worry about it. Come on, let's give these people a hand. How many people received water baptism here at Harvest Time Church? Would you stand up and keep standing? Now, those of you that said keep standing, if you would, how many people received water baptism here at Harvest Time Church? Would you stand up and remain standing? If you're already standing, lift your hand if you got water baptized here. All right, awesome. How many people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit here at Harvest Time Church? You got filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you stand up and remain standing? Or everybody keeps down. Don't sit down. Stand up. So if this works right, everybody's going to be standing at the end. All right, so help me out. Work with me here, people. How many of you received a physical healing here at Harvest Time Church? I want you to stand up. Or if you're already standing, I want you to raise your hand. How many people received a direct answer to prayer here at Harvest Time Church? You prayed for something and God directly answered it. I want you to stand up and I want you to remain standing. If you're already standing, lift up your hand. How many people came to Harvest Time at a point in your life where you just really needed some help, you really needed some hope, and the Lord met you here in a wonderful way? Would you stand up, or if you're already standing, would you lift up your hand? How many people feel like you've really grown closer to the Lord here at Harvest Time Church? You've grown in the Word, you've grown in the Spirit. Would you stand up and keep standing or raise your hand? How many people have met great friends here at Harvest Time Church? Stand up. How many people got married here at Harvest Time Church? Stand up. How many people dedicated your children or your grandchildren here at Harvest Time Church? How many people have been inspired or challenged or encouraged in your faith? How many people want to just stand up because everybody else is standing up and you're not standing? Now listen to me. I want you to look around this room and I want you to realize that your giving has made a difference in the lives of many people. Let's give the Lord a big praise for that. God bless you. You may be seated, and I'm almost done. Three quick encouraging words. Every gift you've given to Harvest Time Church is an offering to God. Nothing given to God is ever lost. And finally, this. Your giving to fully resource Harvest Time Church smells good to God. Your giving to fully resource God's church smells good to Him. Paul says to the Philippians, you gave to me again and again and again. And in verse 18, he says, you gave to me abundantly. He said, I have received full payment. And even more than that, he said, I am amply supplied. The Philippians made sure that Paul was fully resourced for the ministry. They didn't send him just enough to scrape by. They sent him more than enough. You know, beloved, can I tell you, some Christians have the mentality that ministries should have just enough to get by. Lord, we'll keep him poor, you keep him humble. But I have a dream that our church would be fully resourced. My dream is that our pastors and that all of our ministries would have everything that we need to do an excellent job for the Lord Jesus Christ. My dream is to leave a fully resourced church to the next generation. My dream is to leave them a state-of-the-art facility that is equipped with everything that they need to reach their generation for Christ. My dream is to buy up every one of these adjoining properties between here and the parsonage so that our pastors and even more our future pastors don't have to worry about keeping a roof over their heads in a high place, an expensive place to live like Greenwich, Connecticut. Beloved, fully resourced is the way that God meant for his house to be. He said, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Paul said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously shall reap generously. Listen, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you always have everything you need to abound to every good work. Fully resourced ministries honor God. He gave his very best for his church. He didn't spare his own son. He offered him up for us freely. Jesus gave his life for the church. And when we make sure that the church is fully resourced, it shows God that we care about what he cares about most on earth. When we make sure his church is fully resourced, we're acknowledging that this really is the most important work in the whole world. We're testifying to the world that we believe this is important. I want to tell you, when a church campus is well appointed, when it is well maintained, when it is well cared for and looked after, we're saying to our community, we believe that the worship of God is the most important thing in life. I struggle, you'll have to pray for me. I have a hard time having patience for people who don't see it that way. Fully resourced ministries please God because they reflect precisely how he provides for us. Pastor Jason, you better save me. Fully resourced ministries please God because they reflect precisely how he provides for us. After Paul thanks the Philippians for their giving, he makes a prophetic declaration over them. I want you to notice Paul's words in Philippians 4, 18 and 19. He doesn't say, I pray that God will bless you. He doesn't even say God is able to bless you. He speaks a prophetic word over them. He says, and my God shall supply all your needs. That's an awesome promise in itself, but his words get even better. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches. That word for according to in Greek is the word kata to. It means in proportion to, or relative to, or in ratio to. My God shall supply all your needs. Kata to, in proportion, not to the needs, but in proportion to his ability to provide. Beloved, when you give offerings to God and you make sure that the work of his ministry is fully resourced, there is a declaration of blessing that comes to rest over your life, that God will provide your needs, not according to the needs themselves, but according to his vast resources. Have you looked at his portfolio of assets lately? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills. All the gold is his. All the silver is his. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All wisdom belongs to him. All creativity belongs to him. The secrets of science and medicine, the keys to business, the mysteries of the universe, they all belong to him. Some of us need God to give us a fresh set of lenses. We have a hard time believing that God wants to do anything for us at all, much less bless us with more than enough. But here's why it pleases God when we make sure that the work of his kingdom on earth is fully resourced. It's because he himself is a kata to kind of God. He is a God of abundance. Look at the miracles of provision in the Bible. When God's people walked out of slavery in Egypt, they walked out with all the gold and all the treasures of Egypt. That was their back due wages for building the pyramids. Some of us are going to have some back due wages coming to us. God is going to make the enemy that deprived us pay up with interest. When God's people needed meat, he buried them up to their necks in quail. We had a just outstanding time with Canon Andrew White from Baghdad, Iraq, last night. What a sweet, precious, amazing time in this spirit. He pastors a church of 6,500 people, spirit-filled believers in Baghdad, Iraq. Over the last few years, 1,023 members of his church have been martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. He had a baptism not long ago where he baptized 13 people converted from Islam to Christianity, and within 1 week of their baptisms, 11 of them were martyred. But he shared a story that just after the war ended in Iraq, the Ayatollah, the Grand Ayatollah, called him for a meeting. And he said to him, "Father Andrew," he said, "we have no meat for the people." And Andrew said back to him, "I have no meat." And the Ayatollah asked him, "Would you pray to your God?" So he went back to his room, and he said that night as he was getting ready to go to bed, he looked out and he saw over the Tigris River, he saw a manifestation of the glory of God, something like he had never seen before. God showed him a scripture. And he said it was just such an amazing moment in the presence of the Lord that he forgot about the meat. And he said, just as an afterthought, before he went to sleep, he said, "And God, would you provide meat for the people?" The next morning, he was met by an American man who said to him, "Father Andrew, could you use some meat?" And Father Andrew asked him, he said, "How much meat do you have?" And he said, "I have 170 tons of meat in refrigerated tractor trailer trucks that has to be given out right away." He's the God that provides more than enough. When God's people needed bread, he covered the ground with it. When God's people needed water, he caused it to pour out of a rock in the middle of a desert that followed them around everywhere they went for 40 years. When a widow needed oil, he filled every empty jar in the city. When a wedding couple needed wine, he made hundreds of gallons of it. When a crowd needed lunch, he fed everyone until they were full and there were leftovers for days. When Peter needed faith, he filled his boat so full of fish that the nets began to break and the boat began to sink. That's who he is. He is a net breaking, boat sinking, kata two kind of a God. Three encouraging words. Every gift you've given to our church is an offering to God. Nothing given to him is ever lost. And when you give to fully resource his kingdom, the blessings of God rest on you, kata too. Would you stand up and would you give Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Oh, come on, I know we can do better. Let's give him a big praise in this place. Let's sing. Oh,
you've been lifted higher.
Come on, give the Lord one more big praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, would you lift up your faces to heaven? Would you lift up your hands to the Lord and let me pray for you real fast. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would come by the wind of the Holy Spirit, by the indescribable work of God. I pray that you would come right now and transform our minds, renew them. Father, in the name of Jesus, every mindset that lends itself to poverty and lack and need. Father, every person, Lord, who struggles to believe that you would want to do anything for them at all, let alone, Lord, to bless them with more enough, pray, Father, that mindsets would just be shattered and broken, Lord God. I pray a spirit of faith would rise up in the hearts of your people. God, I pray that stinginess, Lord, greediness that leads to poverty, Lord, that tends towards poverty, I pray that it would be broken off of your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that a spirit of joyful generosity, Lord God, would come upon the hearts of the people of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak your blessing over everyone who's given, Lord God, from 1999, Lord, all the way through to 2013, God, for every offering, Lord God. God, you've seen how many times your people have emptied their wallets when we had a guest speaker, Lord, how many times they've given to missions, crusades, and enterprises all around the world, how they've given sacrificially, God, to build these buildings and buy this land and to sow into the future of what you want to do. God, I pray now that you would make all grace abound to your people, God, so that they always have everything that they need, Lord, to abound to every good work. Father, I pray that you would supply all of their needs, kata to God, not in proportion to the needs, but God, in proportion to your glorious riches, your vast resources. God, I speak open windows of heaven over your people. God, I speak financial blessing and provision for the people of God. I speak jobs and better jobs over your people in the name of Jesus. I speak promotions, Lord God, advancement, Lord God. I speak increase, Lord God. I speak salary raises. I speak commissions and bonuses over your people in the name of Jesus. Inheritances for your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for giving your people the plum assignments, Lord, the best accounts to work on, Lord. I bless every small business owner in our congregation. Lord, I pray that you would sink their boat and break their net, Lord God, with the blessing that comes. In the name of Jesus, I speak 3 weeks' blessing in a single day and 1 year's provision in 2.5 months over your people, Lord. I thank you for blessing your people with increase upon increase. God, I pray every family would be fully resourced. God, I pray that there would be more than enough to eat and drink. Lord, I pray that there would be more than enough, Lord God, Father, to provide for what the family needs and to bless the work of your kingdom greatly over and above. Lord, we thank you for it in the great name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, would you just bless him? There's one last thing that I want to do this morning. I wasn't planning on doing